Is your soul ready for the truth? Welcome to ChatCast, the award-winning spiritual podcast that takes on all the hard topics. Raw, unfiltered, and authentic. No spiritual or relationship issue is off limits. We discuss everything from sex and consent to equality, grief, death, and the spirit world. Life evolves around relationships. So if you're ready to get right with yourself so you can be right with others, then stay right here because ChatCast is for you. Now, here's your host, spiritual empath, shaman, and multiple award-winning best-selling author, Tracy Dunblazer.
Hi, good afternoon. My name is Tracy Dunblazer, and this is ChatCast. It's wonderful to see you today. ChatCast is the spiritual on topics that we all feel like we know about and we talk about, but we never really fully dig into, you know, why we have the thoughts and perceptions or the identities that we do about certain things. So today's topic is going to be trust, because we all have to trust. We have to trust others. There are times that we always have to trust ourselves, and there are times that we are put in a position to really have to trust the universe or your higher being. That's what we're going to talk about in today's ChatCast. And as you remember, you can call in anytime at 323-203-0815 if you have a question, comment, or anything about the topic of trust today. So the first thing that I want to do is I wanted to read a little something about trust from my book, Conquer Your Karmic Relationships, Heal Spiritual Trauma to Open Your Heart and Restore Your Soul. Trust is a karmic issue. When I say karma, what that means is whether or not you believe in past lives. We all have patterns, energetic, spiritual, emotional, physical patterns that we come into this life and this body with. And those patterns, they deliver us to certain perceptions of whatever, ourselves, each other, any topic. And it is those perceptions that really dictate how we are going to approach something, whether or not we're going to do it easily, whether it's going to be comfortable for us, whether we're going to feel conflict or struggle in that process. And our karma, it sets the foundation for how we relate to trusting ourselves and other people. So I wanted to read a little something about that. This is from part two, which is affinity, and it's called the Warrior's Hidden Motto, Trust No One. The warrior's most valuable tool is trust, trusting oneself, others, and the universe. However, trust can come often at a price. At least that's the message many will take from their karma. The truth is, when we begin to recognize the flow of information that many spiritual patterns bring us, we begin to bear witness to the subtle occurrences that happen before a big event takes place, like precognitive, like paying attention to certain things little notions that we recognize intuitively. Trust doesn't dictate that bad things don't happen. Trust paves the way out of them if they do. Likewise, it's not your karma or your fault that something bad happens to you. If you have been victimized, it is the perpetrator's choice and therefore their fault. Things happen to us to stretch our hearts to bleed more compassion. And some hearts, in the face of tragedy, pendulum all the way to the other side and harden just a little more. This is all before they're once again brought back to their natural state of empathy and compassion with the applied pressure of lifetimes of experience to guide them. So when we talk about having a pattern happening, we begin to intuitively recognize these spiritual patterns or these emotional patterns. We recognize emotional patterns, of course, through how we feel and our awareness of how we feel. But we can recognize, say, a karmic pattern that you may have when our body will tell us, our fight or flight, our stomach gets queasy, we get a little tickle at the back of our head, we get something that we can become aware of. And definitely there are people out there who say, well, I don't ever have any of those things. I don't ever get a sign. It just, you know, it just happens to me. And this is the point that I'm making, is we are all at some point on a spectrum of our awareness of others, of ourself, and our environment. And those are the three types of trust that we're really working with. We've got to learn to trust other people. And we do that by becoming aware of them. I was thinking about Parka. They do all of this testing on cars, on hidden crash tests. They do all of this kind of testing to determine whether or not we can trust a vehicle. We can trust the seatbelt system, the sound system, the seating system, the airbag system. Now they've got all of the new additional digital sounding systems to let you know if you're going to crash into somebody or you cross the lane line. But there's all of these systems in place that teach us how to show us to be aware. But we can look at those systems to actually educate ourselves, because we have that same level of systeming in ourself, in our body, in our intuition, in our mind, right? So I was thinking about all of these car crash tests and all the tests. They spend millions of dollars in research and development to then be able to educate you about their brand and how much you can trust them. You can trust that car to be safe in, right? And that's the thing, when we are learning to trust other people, that we trust them automatically without giving them the benefit of all of this testing. We don't really test people before we trust them. If we could do a car crash test with people and put them in pressurized situations to see how they're going to act in public when they don't get what they want, or they don't like what you've said, or they're offended by someone else, right? Too bad we can't put them through a series of tests to gain an understanding of what they're going to do, right? In order to receive our trust. So the other interesting thing about trust, that in terms of trusting other people, is the idea I wanted to talk about is the idea of really not only understanding other people, but understanding what it means to be victimized. Because being victimized is a state or condition, and it is a state of ignorance. And when I say ignorance, I don't mean that in a negative way. It's just, you know, there, you can only know so much, and you only know what you know when you know it, right? So there's no harm nor foul to being ignorant, right? But there has to come a point, as we all evolve, that we learn certain information. We have certain awarenesses about ourselves, about our feelings, our thoughts, our beliefs. And then as we evolve ourselves, we begin to understand more about our environment and about the universe. And when I refer to the universe, I really mean the structure of how the world works. You know, that's our connection to science. Science helps us to more deeply understand how the universe works. However, science can only do what science has done so far, right? There's a whole other level of knowledge to know that science is beginning to know, that is, you know, working to know. People put a lot of focus on science and learning to prove certain theories, but we also have our own intuitive self It is our intuitive self helps us understand what we would consider the unknowable aspect of the universe. So it is this awareness, this spiritual awareness, this emotional awareness, this self-awareness that keeps us from being victimized. And everyone is going to experience being victimized at one point or another, meaning there's going to be a point at which something happens that you did not expect. You just didn't expect it. You got blindsided, whether it was something out in the world, whether or not it was a betrayal of a friend or a misunderstanding. But victimization has nothing to do with your karma, meaning you deserved that. It doesn't have anything to do with blame. This happened to me and therefore it's your fault. Right? When people think of victimization, they often think about the perpetrator and the victim. And in that circumstance, that's the only circumstance, when somebody physically does something to you against your will and they hurt you, you are victimized. But almost every other situation, we have intuitive knowledge, we have a deeper understanding, and we have left with us, this is the human condition. This is why this is such a hard topic. There's a certain point at which we have to be accountable for ourselves, for the boundaries we set with others, for the beliefs that we have that create a space for us to be open to being victimized, if we in fact are being victimized, right? There's as you dig into the topic, there's layer upon layer upon layer about in ways that we can more deeply understand ourselves and the universe and others, so that we may A, not feel victimized through whatever experiences do happen to us, and that we can overcome them if they do. Okay, so we're getting to a really interesting part of the topic of trust, which has to do with understanding, again, the idea of karma, whether or not something is your fault, or placing blame. You know, when we get ill, if we get cancer, if something happens to us, how we deal, how we find a way to be empowered in that circumstance is to understand where we can be accountable in every aspect of our life. And that includes living and dying. Right? So now we're traveling into a very deep path about trust and learning to understand what we most know about ourselves and those beliefs, and how it paves the path for us in how we live our life and how we perceive what goes on in our life and how we attract more of it. So we're going to really dig into that in the third section of Chatcast. So does anybody have any questions? I'm just going to throw that out here. We've got time for a quick call, 323-203-0815, or write that down for the next section. We'll be playing an ad now. And before we play the ad, I want to show you, this is Master Your Inner World. Heal spiritual trauma to open your heart and restore your soul. This is the first volume of the Demon Slayer's Handbook series. And I wrote this book. This deals with all of this, with spiritual trauma, but with how our personality, how we are wired, how we perceive the multiple dimensions of the universe that we live in, and how that colors how we see ourselves and life. And how to manage that in a way so that you feel empowered in your life. That's why it's, you know, Master Your Inner World, Embrace Your Power with Joy. So we're going to play an ad for this right now, but I just wanted to show you this book, because this is about this first section that we've been talking about is how to master who you are and what you do, and to learn to trust others by getting to know them and by learning to know and understand yourself, which is what we're going to talk about next. So now we're going to play an ad for Master Your Inner World.
Are you haunted? Demons know about you. You should know about them. Master Your Inner World, Embrace Your Power with Joy, brings the information that many who suffer spiritual trauma have been waiting for. And the response has been powerful. In this award-winning book, renowned spiritual empath and shaman, Tracy Dunblazer, helps readers understand and gain advantage over spiritual forces and past life influences that impact their lives. Tracy reveals the origin of dark forces and how choices you make will dictate their access to you. Through the tapestry of anecdotes, channelings, and rituals, you will discover your own spiritual awareness and healing power. Master Your Inner World by Tracy Dunblazer. Available where books are sold.
Hi, welcome back to Chatcast. I'm Tracy Dunblazer, and this is the spiritual podcast taking on the hard topics. And if you're just tuning in today, we're talking about trust. We just covered the topic of trusting other people. What does it take to be a trustworthy person? Because we talk a lot about what our responsibility is in learning to trust others, but what signs can we look for from another person that makes them trustworthy? And does it? When I was thinking about this, you know, compassion, when someone shows you compassion, when they pay attention to you, when they look you in the eye, when they are comfortable recognizing their own faults, when they are honest with themselves, they seem to have an open, honest relationship with themselves in saying when they can do something and when they can't, setting boundaries. A person who's able to set boundaries and then follows through on those boundaries by not renegotiating them, right? We trust people when they tell us who they are. And that's really important. People will always at some point tell you who they are. And you have to trust that. Even if you don't want to, even if you really like them, and even if you want them to, you know, if who they're telling you they are is someone who isn't very trustworthy, what that means is that what you want from them, you may not be able to get from them. Right? Our bandwidth for trust and trusting other people is what they do consistently. So when someone continually shows a particular positive or negative behavior, but they continually do it, you know, it's a rarity if they're going to come your way and then all of a sudden not participate in that behavior as they have in all of the other relationships or situations that they have beforehand. And your goal, does that mean we just have to cast out people in our life who, when they show us who they are, we don't try to change them and we let them be who we are and we plan around it, right? And this, of course, I'm not even talking about friendship or love relationships or familial relationships. I'm talking about how people can learn to get along, you know, with people who have different ideals or different beliefs or different experiences, because there's at some point we have to deal with people we don't know and how we're going to learn to trust them. And that experience is by recognizing who we are and our own knowledge of ourselves. So just to wrap up that section, how we learn to trust other people is by looking at what they do, paying attention, and then accepting it. Recognizing their level of empathy. You know, if they make a mistake, can they recognize that mistake and honor it in some way with you to create a balance again in the relationship? You know, and are they used to being consistent? Are they able to set boundaries? Are they able to say no and then hold to that no? Right. These are all indicators of people who know who they are and are grounded in that. So take that, take from that what you will. Now I want to move on to the next segment, which is learning to trust ourselves. And I want to read a little, I want to read just a little quote from this about anger. Anger are truth seekers, not healers. If you'll embrace your soul's deepest desire to heal your spirit, will lead you through the pain and the freedom and forgiveness of an open heart. So as we are learning to trust ourselves, comes from knowledge, self-knowledge. What does that mean? When people say, I'm really getting to know myself. Well, that means that you have certain things that you like and don't like. There are things that you're attracted to intuitively before you are physically. So learning to understand those things and why you have them, why they're valuable to you, what they give you. Anytime we have an attraction to another person, to a place, to a culture, there's something about that that reinforces something within ourselves, something that has made us, it's a portion that has made us who we are today. So when we can have a deeper understanding of what that thing is, that's what we call getting to know ourselves, right? So I love rituals. And one of the rituals that I have been doing is I got, I can't go dig it out right now because I'm on air, but it's actually a Native American version of the Holy Bible. And it's been very interesting. I am not Christian myself. I don't claim that anymore. I did at one point. I was saved when I was younger. I am non-religious. I am spiritual, and I create my own rituals for my own, you know, focus, wellness, and peace. And I pray for others. But that's my relationship to the planet, to the earth, to our environment, to our universe, to all the multiple beings here. For me, I can't have any limitations on that. And but I have read the Bible and I really enjoy it. I've really enjoyed digging deep to get into the mindset of how it was created over, you know, actually over multiple centuries. And so in that process, I found this Bible, and I will maybe at the end, I'll get up and show you. You can probably find it online if you look up Native American Bible. But anyway, it's been really fabulous to give me a whole new energetic and spiritual lens. It's not new information per se, but there is a different vibration to their relationship to Christianity and to the meanings of the passages in the Bible. And so just that little shift opens me up. It has been part of my process to open me up to a whole new line of thinking. And that's really what we want to do. That's one of the ways we get to know ourselves, is to look at the things that we're attracted to. Look at, you know, when you open up a book and you open it to any page, what is the message in that, on that page for you? And what is it specifically speaking to you? What is it saying to you? What are you seeing in it? That's how you get to know yourself, by honoring and embracing the spiritual imprints that you've come into this life with, and honoring them by accepting them. Some you'll have, you won't like, and you can do what you want or need possibly to shift those things to something that you can like and embrace, or you can make other choices that help shift them completely and permanently so that you can move on from whatever that energetic dynamic is. But you can't even do that if you don't know who you are, right? And so that's really, I read you this passage about blame and anger being they are meant to show us when we feel anger at something, it's because we are hiding something within us. There is something that wants to emerge. It wants to come out. It wants to be understood more deeply, and it wants to be fulfilled. That's why we're mad, right? Our anger is showing us where we're mad at someone else. And it's not necessarily about them. It's about us, what we did or didn't get, what we did or didn't ask for, what we, what we misunderstood, right? But anger is when you are really angry and you want to blame someone else, that's the time to really focus your energy in to more deeply understand what it is that you are needing from yourself. And therefore, it will put you in a more powerful position to ask that of others, right? So when you feel anger, when you want to blame, that's the time to look inward. What is it you're missing? What is it you need? Do you need to call in and with a question or comment today? Is that what you need? Because if you do, you can call me at 323-203-0815. And that's it for the moment with trusting of the self. There was one other thing I wanted to is about how we relate to our body. Because when we are learning to trust ourselves, our body is our meter. It's our spiritual meter. We have DNA that has created this body. And then we have our spirit that resides in our body, right? Those two things have to come together. And ultimately, at some point, it's best. It's best when they align spiritually and energetically, right? Sometimes they don't. Sometimes a lot of different things going on. But learning to trust your body when it tells you you're in danger, when we have the fight or flight, which is the pancreas and the two islets of Langerhans, which are the glands in the body that send out the message, pay attention here, right? If you have anxiety, that's your fight or flight is letting you know that there's on some level an intrusion or an intruder. There's information that wants to come in that you want to pay attention to. It doesn't necessarily mean that, you know, bad things are going to happen, right? But it's the lowest vibrational way that your body has to tell you to pay attention to what's happening around you and to pay attention to what's happening in yourself, in your mind, and in your heart, right? So wherever you're starting on this process, pay attention to your body and let it tell you. Gain a conversation. Get a repartee going with your body in terms of you asking it what you need, what it's telling you, and allow those messages to change their format from anxiety and an anxiety rush to telling you in your mind, in terms of thoughts or pictures, what's important for you? Why are you getting these messages? Why is your body signaling to you that you need to pay attention? What is the intrusion? What is this new thought or idea that's coming into your consciousness at this time? And what can you do with it? What do you need from it? What does it need from you? Right? When you can begin to be aware on that level of yourself, you can't be victimized, because once that happens, things are still going to happen in your life that you don't like, but the ones that are really intended to happen, they're going to happen anyway. So best be prepared.
Hi, Charlotte.
This is Charlotte. She thought she'd join us today. So best be prepared for the things that are really meant for you to happen in your life, right? You can, by surrendering to the process, conflict and struggle duck in everything that we do as human beings. It takes a lot of energy to process our resistance to something happening that we don't want to happen, that we want to avoid at all costs, and then we're going to be mad about when it does. Right? There are certain things in life that will happen that on some level we really want. And I'm going to talk more about that when we come back from this next commercial break from Conquer Your Karmic Relationships and Go Tracy Publishing.
Your karma got you down? Claim your history, own your power, and change your life. In this groundbreaking book, Tracy Demblazer takes an in-depth look at your karmic relationships and repetitive patterns that position you in life. This 10-time award-winning best-selling book will inspire change in you. You'll learn all the ways to reveal, accept, forgive, and transform your relationships on every level, not only to your soulmates and romantic relationships, but how you relate to food, money, family, culture, religion, sex, death, and your environment. Conquer your karmic relationships. Heal spiritual trauma to open your heart and restore your soul. We'll help you unearth the very core of what drives you, showing how to direct its power into usable, life-giving resources. Through radical acceptance, learn how to recognize your karmic relationships and love yourself and the life you have right now. Pick up a copy of Conquer Your Karmic Relationships anywhere books are sold.
Hi, welcome back to ChatCast. This is Tracy Dunblazer, and today we are talking about trust. And we were just talking about how we get more in tune with ourself, with whatever, you know, with our soul, with what our spirit tells us about who we are and the life or lives that we have lived, right? The more we gain an awareness of that, the more we have an understanding of the things that come to us in life and why we go through them, whether they're good or whether they're pleasant or unpleasant, because everything ultimately that happens allows us a whole other new relationship to the world that we live in. And oftentimes those journeys are painful. You know, pain, I'm actually working on a new book right now that's about grief. And it really talks about what is the spiritual purpose for grief? Pain. Everybody goes through pain, everyone. Whether or not it is internal and about their self-perception or their spiritual trauma or their outer trauma, right? Outer world things will take you through a period of pain, and that pain that you experience, whether it's in process through crying and other ways of grieving, it actually changes the brain. Crying for 10 minutes more actually changes the neurons in the brain, and it changes some of these things that we remember that trigger us. And it creates a whole other space for to receive new information from the universe around us, from our higher self, from other beings in life, higher vibrational beings in life that offer us solace. And so when we allow ourselves to really have that process, we it allows an easier flow of life. It allows us to move through life in deciding and recognizing information, deciding what to do, deciding what choices to make, and then being able to witness the results of those choices, right? So in each of my books, I at the end of each part or each chapter, there is a altar. And a ritual that you in creating the altar is the ritual that I suggest for you. And in Master Your Inner World, we have mastering your world through awareness. Mastering your world by being in harmony with it is the goal. The only way to harmonize with something is to gain familiarity with it, and this comes with practice. Everyone can run a sprint, but when you are preparing for the marathon, pay attention to the five elements below every day and keep a journal. So I add a little questionnaire here. So if you want to check that out, it's Master Your Inner World, Embrace Your Power with Joy. But I highly recommend that you create a little altar and create an altar for yourself and say, hey, I want to master you. I want to know who you are. I'm looking at you, but I'm saying you're looking in a mirror. I don't want to master you. I can barely handle myself. So we're good on that. But, you know, learning to really embrace yourself and own that you deserve to be seen completely and fully on every level by yourself. And then, you know, of course, the more comfortable you are with yourself, the more others will naturally be comfortable with you. And just that sense of self-knowledge is the natural boundary you need to trust yourself and others. But how does that all reflect on our relationship with the universe? That is the next question on deck. Is learning to trust the universe, which is your, you know, how I, it's it, the, your environment is one aspect of the universe, right? But there is a specific way that things are created in our universe from different vibrations that get from the highest vibration, right? Or our causal body. That's how we relate to it, is our causal body. It's the highest vibration of energy that our physical world can connect to before it begins the descent into creating the physical world in carbon that we all live in. So as things form vibration, they come down to the physical world and are created. So how does our intent play in all of that? Sometimes when say we have a karmic event like an illness, right? And say somebody gets a stage 4 cancer diagnosis. When we talk about how the universe creates, we're not saying that this human being, it's their fault that they have this diagnosis, right? The goal in understanding how the universe works isn't, believe it or not, it is not to avoid hard things. And I know a lot of you out there, that's kind of your goal. You want to be spiritual. You want to be religious. You want to have more knowledge so that you can avoid going through hard experiences. So you can avoid that illness, you know, or avoid that relationship or avoid that job that you're going to hate, whatever. But that's not really the purpose. The purpose of understanding how things work and knowing yourself is to really embrace, you know, in the metaphysical arena, we talk a lot about, you know, that we were here at another time. We came into this world and we came in making these choices. Like we decided previously before we came in this soul, in this body, to have these experiences in life. And I believe that there are some events that are destiny. They were intended previously before coming into this world. But I also believe how we relate to those things and is all about our choices, what we want to do, how we want to do it. I want to hear what you have to say about this. If you want to give us a call here at 323-203-0815. But does it make it your fault? No. This is not about fault. This is about finding ways of empowerment. When you recognize yourself as an empowered person in your life, that what you think about, what you focus on, the choices that you make, that they all create the life that you have, that's important, because that makes you empowered in it. That doesn't mean that there aren't other influences from other people or other worldly beings, like other dimensions of life, or that your spirit on some level has put something in your path to pressure test you, you know, to either pull out the best in you or make you see how certain behaviors or thoughts or ideas that you have aren't translatable if you want to be safe, or if you want to keep your body alive, or if you want to do X, Y, or Z, if you want to have friends, right? There are a lot of, the world has a lot of pressure tests for us to see how well we respond, our ability to respond in those circumstances. And none of those are punishments. None of those are our fault. And we aren't victimized in those things if we choose to embrace them, right? If something is coming for us, and the more we surrender to it, the more we're going to move through it and have gain the understanding that we need from it, right? So this is how we learn to recognize the universe that we live in and learn to trust the universe, because it works in a very specific way. It starts with the higher vibrations of what come into our body, into our mind, and then it builds from there. Likewise, and this is interesting, I think a lot about DNA. And one of the things that we are really beginning to learn right now in science is that our DNA is malleable. It can be, I don't know if that was the right word I wanted, but it can be changed. Our DNA can change. And so if we were born into a family that has lots and lots of cancer or mental illness or all of these other things that we have always related to them as, well, it's in my DNA, so that's it. I'm done for. That's what's inevitable. We now know that that's not really the case. It may still be the case for some people, but it is definitely not the case for everyone. And your karma dictates, and when I say your karma, meaning the patterns that you come in with and what you choose about them and what they're intended to teach you determines whether or not it is the case for you, meaning whether or not you are going to take that route of change, right? It's not somebody's karma to change everything. It's, you know, when we talk about healing, we make the assumption that people are healing so they don't die. But the truth is, oftentimes people are healing so that they can die well, so that they can die in peace, so they do not leave this world and this incarnation with what they brought with it, which wasn't pleasant, or it wasn't workable, or it was no longer interesting, right? Whatever the case may be. But in our culture, we focus on wellness as a judgment. I think a judgment on ourselves, a judgment on others. And there's no freedom in judging others. There's no freedom in that kind of judgment of ourself. So that's really what I wanted to talk with you about today. If there's any questions or thoughts or comments, give me a call at 323-203-0815. We've got a few more minutes before we finish. And let me just, there was one other thing I wanted to share with you. Oh, hi. Oh, we've got Melanie. Oh, see, we've got a little Facebook here. Melanie says, fate and destiny. That's a big one. Yes, it is. Oh my God. we can always talk a little bit more about fate and destiny. because again, the fate and destiny are those things that we are not going to avoid, right? And they could be fabulous things, you know. Hopefully my destiny is to be a millionaire and I'm not going to avoid it, right? But when our goal is, when we recognize those things, is to surrender to them and move through them easily and peacefully, really embracing who we are as a powerful human being, to really recognize ourselves as a powerful human being. Okay, so this is the second volume. I don't think I've showed this one to you before, but Heal Your Soul History, Activate the True Power of Your Shadow. And when we refer to, the shadow, that's one of the things that we talk about. It is all of those hidden aspects of yourself. When I talk about getting to know yourself, it is the shadow. It's the intuitive information. It's the hidden information. It's the thing that opens up as you develop as a human being. Your shadow self opens up, and you're able to gain more deeper insights into your soul and who you are. Okay, so here's another comment on quote on trust. Trust means that ultimately we are prepared and willing to deal with the consequences of our actions. When this is the case, it doesn't mean you don't make mistakes. It means that your mistakes are yours and that you own them. So to sum up trust today, learning to trust others comes from trusting ourselves, trusting our own self-knowledge, being open and honest about who we are, who what we like, where we're at, what we want, setting boundaries, and then following through with those boundaries and requiring that they're honored by the people that we know, right? Because when we can do that, it makes it easier to trust other people. It actually makes it easier for them to be more open and honest with themselves about themselves, and then ultimately honest with you. And allows them to show those consistencies that they have, the things that they do over and over and over again. Because they're going to continue to do those things, whether or not they're with you or whether or not they're in a friendship with you, they're going to do those things because it's a part of who they are, right? So your willingness to get to know people and accept them as they are, not as you wish them to be, your own self-knowledge, and then your knowledge of how the world works. Letting yourself trust what you see and investigate. That's another thing. I was thinking when you think about trust, or when I think about trust, I think a lot about a lot of our marketing techniques, because people will, one of the things that we tend to trust about others is when they tell us about themselves. And if they keep saying the same thing over and over and over and over again. When I first started in this business, working as a spiritualist, I worked at a bookstore. And for some reason, I guess in the neighborhood, there were quite a few people. I several times I ended up with ads from psychics on my car windshield. Like they were passing out flyers, and they would. And one of them said she had an 85% accuracy rate. And I thought, I don't know. Is that good? I don't think that's good. I mean, if you're gonna tout your accuracy, you know. And then the next one was a 93% accuracy rate. I'm like, I don't know. Is that good? Because I mean, if you're gonna be accurate. Like who? So that was just funny to me. It was funny to me that somebody would say, well, hey, come see me as a psychic because I'm 85% accurate, or I'm 93% accurate. So I started telling just, you know, obviously my clients, just the people who already knew me and knew of my accuracy, right? Is I have 100% accuracy. Well, I've got 100% accuracy. So And the interesting thing is the more I focused on having 100% accuracy, and this is what I believe about that. I don't think that psychics are wrong. I think that people have the lenses through which they interpret information and disseminate that information. And, you know, most psychics are not, you know, most psychics aren't frauds. They're not trying to get one over on you. That's not really their goal, at least the people in my industry, right? It's not really a thing. Nobody really wants to get over on another person. What we really want to do is we want to help people get to the best of themselves or to get to a deeper understanding of themselves. So anyway, the whole point is that I noticed that the more I made this joke with the clients that I knew, we all began to say it, and it drew out information from me that reinforced that belief, reinforced that statement. It was like, oh my God, that is true. I don't ever get like, you know, 10:15 on a Wednesday afternoon, blah, 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 blah will happen. That's not how I get information. I am dynamic oriented and personality oriented. I understand different levels of people and I describe it as that, but in terms of giving people dates and times, well, this one day I did a reading and told this guy the name of his next lover. I don't even have recollection of it, but when he met this guy and started dating him, he came to me, he's like, oh my God, you said this and this happened. My point is that you have to be the one to trust yourself and to receive what someone is going to say and own your commitment to it. If you receive what other people say, if you rely on other people, if you lend on their opinion, then receive it and own it. Own it as your own. Put yourself in a position to trust yourself, therefore not need to trust others because you're willing to receive whatever information about them or about the circumstance that allows you to be free of feeling victimized, which is the opposite of trust. So thank you so much for tuning in today. It's been really great to see you. You can reach me at tracydunblazer.com and I'd love to hear from you. And thank you for tuning into ChatCast.
You've been listening to ChatCast with Tracy Dunblazer, the award-winning spiritual podcast that takes on all the hard topics. Join us next time for more in-depth conversations about life and relationships. Thanks for listening.